All right, I ask you to turn your Bibles this morning to the book of Matthew, chapter number 14. I'll read just a few verses for our text this morning, beginning in verse number 22. And here the Bible declares, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth hour, or the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Lord, this morning we thank you for the opportunity we have that we can come and worship you this morning in spirit and in truth. And Lord, today as we this morning look into your word, we pray that you might speak to our hearts, and Lord, that you might do for us which only you can do. And Lord, today as I endeavor this morning to proclaim about thy Son, I pray today, Lord, that in his name you might give us the power and the liberty. You might give us passion today, that we might preach this morning as we wish we to preach when we have to stand before you and give an account. And for everything that's done here today, we pray this morning that Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, and our Redeemer, this morning receive all the honor and the power and the glory. For it's in his wonderful holy name I pray. Amen and amen. Back in 1965, there was a popular song that was on our airways called What the World Needs Now. And of course it said, "What the world needs now is love, sweet love." And it was a song about social justice and the social injustices that were going on around the world, and especially in our nation today. But this morning, if I were to ask you today what the world needs now and what the world needed then, it really needs Jesus this morning. And I would thought somewhere down the line, maybe somebody might write a song that what the world needs now is Jesus. You see, this morning we find that in our text, and the Lord had just performed a great miracle, but the crowds were coming around him, and so he dispersed the crowds, but he told his disciples, he said, "You get in a ship, and you go and meet me on the other side. I'll be there to meet you." And this morning we find that the Bible tells us that these disciples, got out into the middle of the sea, and the wind or the wave, the sea was tossed with waves. There was a great storm taking place in the midst of this sea. Now these men were experienced fishermen. No doubt they had been out on this sea, out in boats for most of their lives. Since they were small boys, they had probably been there with their fathers and their grandfathers and their uncles and their brothers today. And they were experienced fishermen that were out in the midst of the sea. But the Bible said that the waves were tossing the ship and that the winds were contrary to them. They were facing a contrary wind. My big mama used to talk about people, and sometimes she'd say, "That person is just plumb contrary. They're just plumb contrary." Matter of fact, she used to say that about me every once in a while. I have no idea why. But you know that the word actually means this morning that there's something against them. That this morning these winds were blowing in the opposite direction. They were trying to go to the other side, but the wind was opposing them, was against them, and was blowing them back the other way. It's kind of like taking two steps forward and three steps back this morning. And you know what they really needed this morning was not anything else, but they needed Jesus. They needed Jesus this morning to come to them. This morning we find that another time they were out on a lake, and they were in the midst of a storm. And Jesus was in the ship with them this morning, asleep this morning. And they went to the back of the boat, and they said, "Master, carest not that we perish?" And he stood, of course, and said, "Ye of little faith." And he calmed the sea and the wind this morning. You see, they needed Jesus today. And Jesus came to them this morning. May I say to you this morning, what we need is Jesus. Amen. We're living today in a time and an age. And if you are not aware, and we'll look at something in a moment that maybe will make you a little bit more aware. But this morning, the winds are contrary to us. We are being opposed on every front. And this morning, as I look at our nation, as I look at our society, and we see the great mess that we're in today, and certainly, ladies and gentlemen, we are in a great mess in this nation. And we see all kinds of plans that are being presented to solve those things that are going against us today. May I say to you this morning that the only thing that will solve the mess and the problems that we have in this nation today are and is Jesus Christ. No doubt about it today. We can go a lot of different ways today, but this morning we find that they needed Jesus. And this morning they were in the midst of this storm. They were in the midst this morning of being pushed back this morning and being opposed in every way. And they needed Jesus this morning. We need Jesus today. Charles Spurgeon, that great preacher of yesteryear, said on occasion, "What would you preach as your dying message?" He said, "The only message I have is Jesus, and that'll always suffice." Amen. The Apostle Paul in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter number 2, as he there wrote to that church in Corinth, and as he's there writing to correct several problems that were taking place. One of the problems that was taking place, people were beginning to take sides and go in different directions. And Paul there told them that this morning the mandate and the mission and the message of the church this morning was Jesus Christ and Him crucified. That's the mandate we have this morning. We're to go into all the world and preach the gospel. We are this morning to do what it says today. I'm going to say just a little bit more about that in a moment. Paul told the church in 2 Corinthians, he said, "I preach Jesus." Several years ago, I heard a story about a man that was disabled, and his name was Joe. And he would go every day down to the local church, and he would go inside, and he would get down on his knees at the altar, and he'd say, "Jesus, this is Joe," and begin to pray. One day as he was headed toward the church, a car hit him and he was taken to the hospital. There in the hospital, as he was laying there, they called the pastor of the church and he came down and all the tubes were hooked up and everything was monitoring him, and he looked down and he said, "Well, Joe, how you doing?" He said, "I'm doing pretty good, Pastor." He said, "Well, I know that you didn't get to come to the church today and pray." And he said, "No, I didn't." But he said, "You know, every day I go and I say, 'Jesus, this is Joe.'" And he said, "Yeah, I've heard you say that." And he said, "Well, just a little while ago," he said, "Jesus came and said, 'Jesus, Joe, this is Jesus.'" That's what we need this morning sometimes, isn't it? We need Jesus. That's what the world needs today. I was some of the things that take place in our world, and I'm a little bit amazed at time, but in the paper this morning, as I was reading it for a moment, I came across something on the opinion page, and the title of the article was How American Churches Became More Pauline Than Christian. And we find that there's a man that wrote this by the name of Sonny Scott, and he has been a public educator and many other things during his career. And he begins to talk about that we today, what the world needs is not what we're giving them. I just want to read to you just a couple of things this morning real quickly, and you listen real carefully to what he says here. He says, today's church, in both its Catholic and evangelical varieties, is more concerned with the salvation of the believer than with the teachings of Jesus. This is the legacy of a Greek-speaking Jew, Paul of Tarsus, who came to see the life of Jesus, whom he never met, as the fulfillment of prophecy. The church as it presently exists reflects the teaching of Paul about the resurrection of the body, the afterlife, and salvation by grace. The ethics of Jesus are conspicuous by their absence from much of the teachings and liturgy of the modern church. You know, this morning, as you study this morning and as you look through things that God wrote in His Word, and you read this morning, you think, where in the world does this man get this? Certainly, I'm concerned about the salvation of the believer, and I want to deal with that just in a moment. But he talked about the teachings of Jesus, and that wasn't what Jesus taught. Well, you know, as I said a moment ago, Jesus said that the mandate and the mission and the message today is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He didn't say it's to go into all the world and tell people they can become rich. He didn't say it's the go into all the world and teach them how to drill a well or how to hunt or how this morning to grow corn or any other many of the other things that we do, and nothing wrong with that. But listen to me today. The number one thing that the church is to do, and the number one thing today that we as God's people are going to be held accountable for, is preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the only thing that will help this world right now is Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church at Colossae in chapter number 1, and as he wrote that church, and he wrote so many things, and it's a great chapter on Thanksgiving today, and certainly as we enter this time of the season, we should be thankful unto God. Now listen what Paul wrote in verse number 17. Here he's talking about Jesus, and he said, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist today. Paul said that in Jesus all things consist. That word consist means glued together. I don't know if you remember, I remember when super glue first came out. That probably tells you how old I am. And I used to work at this place, and somebody got some of it. And this old boy was fooling with it, and he stuck two of his fingers together. And I said, how in the world did you do that? And he said, like this. And he was glued together. He glued his stupid fingers together. Can you believe that? Now listen to me. That's exactly what Jesus is. He's the glue that holds everything together. That's what Paul said. In him, all things consist. In him, today, all things are glued together this morning. If you take Jesus Christ out of the Bible today, it falls apart, a powerless book. Without Jesus today, the Bible means absolutely nothing. Jesus Christ is the heart, the soul, the subject this morning of the Word of God. He is the Son of God, and without Him, everything falls apart today. Our world is falling apart. And come tonight, and we'll talk more about that, because it's without Jesus. People's lives are falling apart. Why? They're without Jesus today. homes are falling apart in our country this morning because they're without Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ is the thing we need. Paul said here in Colossians in chapter number 1, listen to what he said, giving thanks unto the Father. Well, thank God we can give thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even forgiveness of sins this morning. You see, we have to start where we need to start, with being saved today. Jesus said, and as I said, I don't know where this man got all of his information. Evidently, he wasn't reading the Bible that I've had today. He wasn't reading the Bible that I've been reading all my life, because Jesus said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. Jesus this morning said that I came to give my life a ransom for many. Jesus Christ this morning came to save the individual this morning from his sins today. Salvation today, it consists in Jesus Christ. Saving the soul, absolutely. Absolutely today. Absolutely. Jesus saves our soul. He grants to us redemption, even the forgiveness of sin, having made peace through the blood of his cross. Today, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl that's born in this world is born a sinner. They come into this world this morning a sinner. And they need forgiveness of their sin. I've told you before, and don't get all upset. Sometimes folks get upset. Little babies have a special protection today. And that protection today is because Jesus Christ is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. There comes a time when there's not, I don't say an age of accountability, but a knowledge of accountability, when the Holy Spirit makes it known to them they're lost and they need a Savior. This morning we find that we need salvation for our soul. We need forgiveness of our sin. And that comes this morning only through Jesus Christ and his blood. He died this morning for us. Amen. That's salvation. But you know, this morning, he doesn't stop there today. He doesn't stop just saving our soul. You see, he transforms our life this morning. He, this morning, does all things today good, doesn't he? But the Lord today, as he comes unto us this morning and saves our soul, he transforms our life. I'm so glad of that today, that he can transform our life this morning and do for us which nobody else can do. Many years ago, a man by the name of Ivory Joe Hunter had a popular song called Since I Met You, Baby. It had a very beautiful tune to it. I always loved to hear it played on the piano. Several years ago, I was at a particular church, and somebody got up and were to sing, and he sat down at the piano, and he began to play that tune, and I thought, I recognize that. Even though I'm tone deaf, most time I recognize that. I thought, now how is this going to work out? And he began to sing, Since I met you, Jesus, my whole life has changed. Since I met you, Jesus, my whole life has changed. Since I met you, Jesus, my whole life has changed. And everybody tells me I'm not the same. I thought, hallelujah. Since I met you, Jesus, my whole life has changed. I'm glad he changed my life. Hallelujah today. One day a man was out on the street, and he was a skeptic and an agnostic, and he was deriding the Bible. He was deriding the gospel. He was talking about how it was false and it wasn't true, and making all kinds of accusations today. He was just ranting and raving. And finally he got through, and a little girl went up to him and she said, "Mister," she said, "I don't believe what you said is true, but would you please, even if it is, don't tell my daddy." And he said, "Why don't you want me to tell your daddy?" She said, "My daddy used to be a drunk. My daddy used to be a gambler. That when he'd get off work on Friday, he'd take his paycheck and go down to the bar and drink and gamble it all away." And said, "We didn't have anything to eat. We had to wear rags for clothes. And then he'd come home and beat on me and Mama and the other kids." But said, one day he went to church and the Lord saved him. And said, "Now he comes home and he brings us food and he buys us clothes and he loves us instead of beating us. And said he takes care of us and he's a good daddy now and I don't want him to change again." Hallelujah. Our lives change when we meet Jesus, doesn't it? He transforms your life. That's what he does today. Hallelujah. Paul said in 2 Corinthians that we're new creations in Christ. We're born again by the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. You know, sometimes I think about all the things that I hear in this world, and I hear a lot of some celebrities sometimes talk about the Lord, and they're talking about this and that and the other. And one day I got to thinking about that, and I remember watching a movie. I don't watch many movies. Number one, I don't really care much about movies. Number two, they bore me to death. I get bored pretty quick. But I remember watching Chariots of Fire, about an Englishman going to the Olympics. And when he got there, he was a distance runner, considered to be one of the best in the world. But he was also a preacher, a minister, a Christian. And it come time for his race, and they announced that it would have to be on a Sunday, and he said, "I can't run in that race. I'm scheduled to preach on a Sunday. I worship on Sunday." They pressured him and done everything they could. He said, "No, I'll run in this other race." They said, "Well, you can't win that race." He said, "Well, I'm not running on Sunday." We got to thinking about that one day. Evidently, he was real, wasn't he? I wonder if some of these folks are always bragging about the Lord and be making millions of dollars this afternoon on television. If they say, "Hey, we're not playing on Sunday no more," what would they do? Now, think about it. This, you know, folks say, "Well, I don't. Listen, think about it. Is it real? Does Jesus really change our life? He transforms us. We're new creatures. We're regenerated this morning. I'm glad Jesus is what we need, because he saves our soul and transforms our life. Then he makes you want to please him. You see, that's the basis of our good works, to glorify him. Jesus said that we're to let our light shine before men, that our good works might glorify our Father which is in heaven. You see, when we do something today, we're not doing it to glorify us, to lift us up, to make ourselves look good. Not today to make me rich or wealthy. Today it's about glorifying the Lord Jesus Christ, about lifting him up, about letting this world know today that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. Hallelujah today. And it gives hope for the future. I'm glad the only hope we have today is in Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter number 8, Paul said that, you know, the whole creation travaileth, waiting for the time that Jesus Christ will come again. Scripture says, "Christ in you, the hope of glory." In 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, the Apostle Paul, as he writes that great story on the resurrection, but he said in verse number 19, he said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. If just in this life, if just here we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. You know, this morning we don't just have hope here. We have hope forever. Not just in this life, but in the life to come. He closed out the chapter by saying this. So when this incorruptible shall put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O grave, where is thy sting? O death, O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I got hope for the future this morning. No matter what else happens in this life, there's hope for the future. Why? Because of Jesus. Hallelujah, one of these days he's going to escort me over. I'm going to be there with him. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. What this world needs this morning is Jesus. I came across something the other day. I want to read it to you. I thought it was quite good. It said, more than 1,900 years ago, there was a man born contrary to the laws of life. The man lived in poverty and was raised in obscurity. Only once did he cross the boundary of the country in which he was raised, and that was during his exile and childhood. In infancy, he startled a king. In childhood, he puzzled doctors. In manhood, he ruled the course of nature, walked upon the sea as upon the pavement, and hushed the storm to sleep. He never wrote a book, yet all the libraries of the country could not hold the volumes of books that had been written about him. He never wrote a song, yet he furnished the theme for more songs than all other topics combined. He never founded a college, but all the schools put together cannot boast of having as many students. The names of the past, proven statesmen of Greece and Rome, have come and gone. The name of the past, scientists and philosophers and theologians, have come and gone, but the name of this man abounds more and more. Though time has spread many years between the people of this generation and the scene of his death, yet still he lives. Herod could not destroy him, and the grave could not hold him. He stands forth upon the highest pinnacle of the heavenly glory, proclaimed of God and acknowledged by the angels, adorned by the saints and feared by devils, as the living personal Christ, our Lord and Savior, and our God. At the time of his crucifixion this morning, we find that he cried out, it is finished. Telestai, it's finished, it's over. Because you see, in Jesus Christ, everything is finished today. He glues everything together and he holds everything together, but he also finishes everything because he's the author and the finisher of our faith. What we need this morning is Jesus. What the world needs is Jesus, and what you need is Jesus, and what I need is Jesus today. Thank God today that he brings us salvation, and he can bring us this morning and calm our storms and calm our fears. He can do for us what nobody else can do. And as Paul said, as I leave you with these very simple words today, thanks be to God which giveth us the victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Victory is in Jesus this morning. All right, if you'll stand together with me, Brother Ellis, if you and Teresa would come. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time we've been together. We ask you, Lord, that you might bless in this very simple sermon today. You might take it and use it today for the honor and glory of him who loved us and gave himself for us. And Father, I pray this morning as we this morning endeavored to preach your word that Jesus Christ has been lifted up and exalted. And for all that we do today and all that's said and done, we pray this morning that Jesus Christ will be the one that we accept today. In his name I pray. Amen.